It's Thursday, the 12th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Trey Burke and Russell Westbrook. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Stevie_C04, who is the sponsor of today's show. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. And if you want to be like Stevie_C04 and become a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do, it's very, very straightforward. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. If you leave a review on iTunes for the podcast, a 5-star review, and leave your review there, you become a sponsor for the day, just like Stevie did. And of course, Moneyball.com.au is the other sponsor of the podcast, Australia's own daily fantasy, or one and only daily fantasy sports site. And they had a huge tournament today, the $7,000 tournament, which is huge in our terms, biggest tournament they've run. Unfortunately, I didn't win, but I did do okay. And everyone who's competing against me on Moneyball, I thank you for taking me up on all my head-to-head games and playing me. It's been a ton of fun so far, so thank you to everyone who has done that. If you are watching this, or if you're not watching this, if you're listening to this, reminder, we do these podcasts on YouTube as well. So you can watch on YouTube, and they are streamed live on YouTube. It depends on your time zone. It's very early in the morning in the States. It's late. It's evening time in Australia when most of them are up, so you can watch them live. You can chime in with comments as things are happening during the show, and if I get to them during the show, I try to get to as many as I can during the show for the comments that do get left while we're recording. Okay, so I had a big day in the NBA today. There were 11 games, a lot of action, a lot of stuff happening. So as Michael Bolton would say,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night, I think it's the third time that he's got it this season. It is Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Curry played 35 minutes in a game against the Grizzlies where they got the victory. 28 points for Curry, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, a block. He went 9 of 21 from the field and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Another just superb performance from Curry. He's been a little bit quiet of late. Still hard to complain. He is averaging 32 points and 5 threes a game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists and 2.7 steals on 52 and 92%. He is the clear number one player in fantasy basketball at the moment. We know that. He's taking a ridiculous 11 three-point attempts per game at the moment. He's hitting 5 of them, so that's obviously a fantastic conversion, but he's just on another level. And even on games where he doesn't play well, like, not that he didn't play well today, but when he doesn't be crazy good, he still puts up a line like this that is good enough to basically be the best head-to-head line of the night. A 28-5-5 with 5 steals, a block, and 3 threes. It doesn't get much better than that, and that's exactly what Steph Curry gave us today. The waiver wire line of the night, it goes to none other than Marcus Thornton of the Houston Rockets. And this has been one of the weirdest situations this season, I think it's fair to say. Thornton played 35 minutes as a starter, 21 points. He had 3 threes, had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, a block. He went 9 of 15 from the field. Has yet to attempt a single free throw this season, but he is just putting up numbers they're out of control, basically. He is, in 9 category leagues, he is ranked on the Basketball Monster ranking system. He is ranked 11th on the season. He's averaging 17 points, 3 threes, 4.3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.7 steals. He's shooting 48%. And the reason why he's out of control at the moment, obviously the minutes are stupendous, but his field goal percentage is ridiculous. He shot 41% last year. He was 39 the year before, 43 the year before that, 44 the year before that, 43 the year before that. He's at 48. So we're talking 4 or 5% higher than what basically his career average is. His numbers are just, they're just so big. Everything he's doing, and a lot of it's fueled by the percentages. His other numbers, his assist numbers actually are way up as well based on his normal career averages. His other numbers are basically right in line with his per 36 numbers across his career, except the field goal percentage and except the assist numbers. I just didn't really know what we were going to expect from Thornton this year. And he started off, he was a healthy scratch the first two games. Terrence Jones got injured, and then they started Marcus Thornton, and he played big minutes. And he played big minutes in every game that Jones was out. And I wasn't sure what to expect from him moving forward. I thought, you know, he played well enough where he had to become a fixture in the team. He had to be a guy who was getting rotation minutes. I didn't know how many rotation minutes that was going to be when Terrence Jones came back. Jones came back. Thornton remained in the starting lineup with Jones coming off the bench. He played 35 minutes. And right now, you have to own Marcus Thornton everywhere. He was a great short-term ad. I didn't know how long it would continue for. And look, his shooting is going to come down. He's probably not going to be a 48% shooter. But coming down 4 or 5%, it's not a massive drop. The assists, who knows if they're real. They said they're out about 3 a game. The 7 today helped. The other games were 3, 2, 3, 1, and 2, so not big numbers there. He's a scorer, he's a 3-point shooter, and he's helping a little bit in steals and field goal percentage for the moment. But I imagine that some of those numbers will start to come down. But for now, he's a guy that you have to own everywhere. But just remember, I think the minutes will come down a bit. I think that Jones will start to ramp up his playing time. And whenever Donatas Motiejunas comes back into the lineup, he'll have to eat away some of these minutes as well. But it looks like Thornton has established himself as a pretty decent role. I think I've got him projected now for the season at 30 minutes a game. I just didn't know what we were going to expect from him. But the fact that Mikhail went with him in this situation over Terrence Jones and gave him big minutes again, and Thornton produced, it's going to be very hard to get him out of the starting lineup or get him out of the rotation, maybe is the best way of putting it. So Marcus Thornton is the waiver wire line of the night. He's only owned in about 35% of Yahoo leagues at the moment. So obviously he's around in a few of your leagues. Make sure you can go and grab him if possible. Also, remember, this is a shout out to Matt Horowitz, who runs the Red Rock Dynasty League Twitter handle. He, in our Dynasty League, he went out and picked up Marcus Thornton for the Dynasty League. He picked up the Celtics' second-round draft choice, who's currently playing in Australia, that Marcus Thornton. Make sure you're grabbing the right Marcus Thornton. The young gun of the night goes to Jahlil Okafor of the Philadelphia 76ers. He's won this a couple of times this year already. 26-7 with 4 blocks. He went 13 of 22 from the field. He missed both of his free throws. And that's pretty much what we're expecting from him. And on the season, he's putting up great numbers. Now, his NICAT numbers don't look impressive. He's ranked 139th. When I go through and do my head-to-head ranks, which will probably be in a couple of days' time, you'll see him much higher than that. He's ranked 20. Oh, he's averaging 20.6 points, almost 7 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, negligible stats in the threes, assists, and steals. But he's a 51% shooter. The problem with him, and why that the NICAT ranks disregard or downgrade Jahlil Okafor, is the fact that he is now shooting 49% from the field on 5 attempts a game, and that can be pretty damaging. If he gets those attempts up by another 1 or 2, he's a guaranteed punt guy right now. He was a guy that in the preseason I was talking about, you've got to consider him a punt player. And he, after starting off red hot from the line, going 80% in the first couple of games, he has definitely dropped down a little bit now. And this is sort of what we can expect from him moving forward. I'm pretty confident this will be very similar lines to what we'll see. He's scoring a little bit more than I anticipated, but he's putting up some very, very nice numbers. The dud of the night goes to Al Jefferson of the Charlotte Hornets. Jefferson played 23 minutes. He had 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, nothing else, 2 of 10 shooting, just an all-round horrible night from from Jefferson. And he's been somewhat of a disappointment this year. He's playing so few minutes, only 26 minutes a game this season, 13.5 points, 6.8 rebounds, 0.9 blocks, half a steal. 51% from the field is pretty nice, but the volume's right down. He's 3 shots a game less it's over 4.5 minutes less than he's playing this season compared to last season. He looks a far cry from the guy who was a 22-11 guy a couple of seasons ago in Charlotte. His numbers have dropped considerably. Now, you're not dropping him in any leagues. He's still a top 100 player, but he's not that top 50 candidate guy. And I don't think that's really necessarily a buy low situation for him. I don't know if he gets back to being that sort of player this season, if they're going to continually limit his minutes the way they currently are. That's a bit of a concern to me, that the fact that they are just playing him so few minutes, and they're relatively competitive in most of these games. I don't know. I don't really see Jefferson as a buy low guy at this point in the season, because, again, we don't know what we're going to expect from him moving forward, or safer to say we don't expect big things from him moving forward. Maybe that's the better way of putting it. All right, that's all the nightly awards done for today. Let's move on and break down this game, these games in a little bit more detail for you guys watching along. I'm going to put the box scores up on the screen as we talk, and there they are now. The first game, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Orlando Magic. No Kobe Bryant. Again, as I mentioned in yesterday's semi-rant that I had against the Lakers and Byron Scott. Yeah, Kobe's playing both games of the back-to-back. Next minute, he plays no games of the back-to-back. So Kobe was out again. Ryan Kelly was out of the rotation. So, of course, we went with Meta World Peace as the starter. He played 27 minutes. He had a triple one and 9 points. We're not adding Meta World Peace in any sort of leagues outside for the very, very deepest of formats. Because we saw this with Byron Scott a lot last season, that he'll run guys and then he'll just change his mind. 10 games later, oh, you're not playing anymore. Bad luck. And we saw that happen to Brandon Bass, and he's back in the lineup. Tariq Black is out of action. Ryan Kelly's out of the rotation now. Marcelo Huertas was out of the rotation for a bit. Well, Peace will be in and out. Who knows? It's just, we know Byron Scott is a terrible, terrible coach. D'Angelo Russell played 31 minutes here, so that's a good sign. 14-6-3, 2 threes, a steal and a block, one of his better games. But of course, when he plays big minutes, Jordan Clarkson plays 26 and goes 4-2-5. Not a good night from Clarkson. I'm not considering dropping Clarkson at this point, but it is definitely frustrating. He's a guy that's one of the worst two or three players on your team. So if your team is super stacked, there could be an argument to be made for dropping him. But I don't. At this stage, I'm still holding on. I think that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm still holding on with Jordan Clarkson, but I can understand if you are a bit hesitant. He's ranked 122nd on the season in the 9-cat values. The good thing is he's getting the 30 minutes a game still, not today, but on average 30, 14 points, but he's not doing enough in other areas. His rebounding is down from last season. His assists are down from last season as well. Yes, he's shooting at 47%, so a much higher percent than last year, but those peripheral numbers that are really impacting his value, they could come back and he could start to put up some numbers, but he's not going to put up those last 2 month numbers that we saw last season when he was a top 50 player. So don't count on that too much. Roy Hibbert had one of his better games of the season. He went 15-6 with 3 blocks. Again, I've said this about Roy Hibbert before. He's fine to own under certain circumstances, but he's not must own. The block high free throw percentage combination is fairly rare. And Hibbert's one of those guys who provides it. We saw a little bit of something from Larry Nance, who scored 13 points in 20 minutes. Not much else. The 6-of-6 field goal percent, or 6-of-6 field goal shooting helps his value. But he's had some pretty nice games, and I'd like to see him work into the rotation a little bit more. Julius Randle, 12-8-4. An average night there. Nick Young, 10 points with 2 threes, an efficient shooting night in 21 minutes for Nick Young. Not much else from the Lakers. They're just really bad. The Orlando Magic, Nick Vucevic did come back. He came back and played off the bench. Dwayne Dedmon got the start. Dedmon only played 13 minutes. Vucevic played 26 minutes off the bench and went 18-5 with a block. You'd have to think that the next game that the Magic play, that Vucevic will be back in the starting lineup playing his usual allotment of 30-plus minutes, and Dedmon will go back to being a bench role player and not be of any value in daily fantasy situations or seasonal leagues if you picked him up. Victor Oladipo left this game with a concussion. We don't know how long he's going to be out for at this point, but you'd have to consider him questionable or at least maybe even doubtful for the next game. He played just 7 minutes in this one, so he could be missing some time. And with Oladipo out, the biggest beneficiary of that was Shabazz Napier, who played 30 minutes. He went 22 points, 3 assists, and hit 5 threes. Aaron Gordon got the start in the second half, but he only managed 16 minutes for the game. 4-5. So what do we do in terms of if there's anyone to add? Well, it doesn't appear like it's going to be a long-term injury. Napier would be an interesting guy to look at, but Napier also benefited from the fact that CJ Watson didn't play in this game. So I don't think we look at Shabazz Napier and go, let's add him for a short-term value, unless we know that Watson's going to miss the next game. Now, he's got a sore calf. It doesn't appear like he's going to be a long-term problem. So it's just sort of a matter of waiting and seeing with this one. As I said, Gordon got that start in the second half with Oladipo out. Didn't really convert it into anything. Alfred Payton went 1 of 13 from the field. That is horrific. Missed both of his free throws, 2 points, but 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal. He still contributed in a number of areas. Evan Fournier, he's His hotness continued. 42 minutes for Fournier, 16, 5, and 6 with 2 threes and a steal. And I had a tweet come through, I think it was from Rich Newell, who sent me a tweet about these clip-on man buns, and he wants me to wear one on the podcast in tribute to Evan Fournier. So if you want me to wear a clip-on man bun for a podcast in tribute to Evan Fournier, please let me know, because Rich seemed to think it was a fantastic idea. I'm not quite as keen on it, but we'll see what you guys think. Toby Harris played 37 minutes, 11 and 11. He had a really weird box score. 11 points, 1 3, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And as you look at it on the screen, just a whole bunch of ones. So he was in a big minute night for him, which is something that fluctuates a little bit. But he's pretty solid where he is, not buy low, not sell high. Nothing like that for Toby Harris. The New York Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets is the next game. And just quickly had a tweet come through from, who was it from? I'm going to bring that up. King Bluff. He said, I can't see the stats on the screen. It's blurry. Hopefully I was able to fix that up. Have a look now. And if you are watching this live, let me know if there's anything, any issue with the screen or how the stats are looking on the screen. We'll see if we can fix that up. But hopefully it's all good now. The Knicks and the Hornets. The Knicks, they were close. They almost got the victory. Porzingis, and you know what? I've got to get myself out. In my head, every time I go to say Porzingis, I have Stephen A. Smith's stupid draft day rant about Porzingis where he called him Porzingis. So I keep going to call him Porzingis just as a joke. So if I do ever say Kristaps Porzingis, it's because I'm taking the piss out of Stephen A. Smith. So I apologize if I say that. I do know what his name is. I know it's Porzingis. But if you do hear me slip up and say Porzingis at one time, it's because of that. Anyway, the Knicks, Porzingis had a three-pointer waved off at the buzzer to get the victory after Cody Zeller had the game-winning shot for the Hornets. Porzingis was big again, 10 and 15, 2 blocks, 2 offensive boards for Porzingis, a really big night. And the pleasing thing here is he played 31 minutes. I've said it a million times, he's a must-own player. Hopefully he continues to get these bigger minutes. Aaron Aflalo returned from his hamstring injury straight into the starting lineup. 28 minutes for Aflalo, 12 and 6. He is not someone who I think is a must-own player. A 14-team league, yes, a 12-team league. He's probably going to be your worst player, and he's just going to have some bad nights. 28 minutes is a positive sign if you do believe in him. It's also annoying that he got 28 minutes and Langston Galloway was reduced to 19. 4 points and not much else. Galloway had been playing really, really well. Hopefully that isn't the case moving forward, that Galloway is limited to under 20. But the good thing is that Sasha Vucic completely out of the rotation. So thank you, Derek Fisher, for listening to the podcast. I'm sure that's the reason. And taking Vucic out of the rotation. Jerian Grant played just 19 minutes, 8, 2, and 5. So pretty decent return. It is getting harder and harder to hold him in a standard league. While Jose Calderon played 28 minutes again, set of Flalo's, set 28. When is Grant going to take this job? It might not be for a couple of months, if at all. So if there's someone else you want, it's really hard to hold Grant, even though 8, 2, and 5 does have some sort of standard league relevance. Calderon had 13 points and 5 assists, and this is 3 good games in a row for Calderon. I'm not really getting super pumped by it or going and adding Jose Calderon in many places, if any. It's only deeper league sort of formats. But the last couple of games have been good for him. He's had 13, 8, and 14 points. He's hit 5 threes combined. He's gone for 10 assists combined and 4 steals in those 3 games. So he's looking a lot better in these last couple of games. And that makes me think even more that Fisher will keep him running the point, which is obviously a disappointment if you own Jerian Grant. Robin Lopez went scoreless. He had 9 rebounds, a steal, and a block, though. He's just a very low upside guy who definitely has 12-team league value, but he's that guy, that 12th guy on your roster, the 11th guy on your roster. He doesn't have much of a scope to go higher than that. Carmelo Anthony went 29, 6, and 4 with 3 threes. And Lou Amundsen off the bench was super efficient, 4 of 4 for 9 points, a steal and a block. But anyone apart from Dean Vasek probably needs to ignore Lou Amundsen. On the Hornets, Jeremy Lin with a great bench performance, 21 minutes for 17 points. 3 assists and 3 steals. He was red hot shooting 7 of 11. While Jeremy Lamb, maybe he is a 60% shooter, because I keep saying he's not this good a shooter, but he went 6 of 10 again for 14 points with 4 rebounds and 2 steals. He's not a 60% shooter, but he is on a massive hot streak. If you own him, I'd try to sell him and try and sell someone based on some sort of ranking. Oh, look at him. He's ranked 80th for the season or wherever he is. You know what? I don't even remember where he's ranked. So we'll bring him up and you can use that in your trade negotiations if you picked up Jeremy Lamb. Hey, you want Jeremy Lamb? He's ranked 61st on the season. That percentage is going to come down at some point. Marvin Williams has started regressing. 8 points, a 3, still 3 blocks, and 29 minutes for him, but he's starting to come down off that red hot start. You still have to keep holding him, but I'm maintaining that Cody Zeller is the better player than Marvin Williams, and hopefully we'll start to get more minutes. Zeller, again, hit the game winner here for the Hornets. 25 minutes, 12, 4, and 3. Just a horrific night shooting free throws. 8 of 15. He's a really good free throw shooter normally, so just butchered your percentages. But just keep an eye, because Williams' numbers are getting lower. Nick Batum led the team in scoring, 24 and 5. With an assist, a steal, and a couple of threes, so a nice night for him. While Kemba Walker went 2 of 11 for just 9 points, so a bit of a disappointing night for Kemba. The Toronto Raptors, the next game on the board, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Kyle Lowry just rolling, 23, 3 and 8 with 2 steals and 2 threes in 29 minutes. Luis Scola went hyper-efficient, 21 points in his 19 minutes with a triple one as well. This is Philadelphia. Scola will do this. He'll have more big games in this year, but he's also going to have a lot of stinking games, so don't be too excited. Bismack Biyombo, 10 and 10 with 3 blocks, while Corey Joseph played 31 minutes, went 15, 2 and 5. Really efficient shooting. I think Joseph's in line for some pretty good minutes coming up in the next couple of weeks, while Terrence Ross is out with his thumb issue. He's already averaging almost 25 minutes a game this season. He's the 8.8 points isn't too good, but just 3 assists, 2.5 rebounds, a steal, 56% shooting. These are some very good numbers, and they're very usable. I don't know if he has long-term 12-team league value, but without Damari Carroll as well, the last two games have been nice. He's averaging 23.5 points. He's at 6.5 assists. He's at 4 rebounds. I think that if you've got a streaming spot, adding Corey Joseph will give you better value than a streaming spot over the next couple of weeks. If Carroll's out long-term, then maybe he retains that value for an extended period of time. But I think when Carroll comes back, that it's going to limit what Joseph can do and when Ross comes back. Now, James Johnson started in place of Carroll. He went 8-5-3 with a steal and a block. He's still only a deep league consideration guy. Jonas Valanciunas, of course, 23 minutes. Why wouldn't you play your best player? Big minutes, especially when you've got no other big men. I know it's against Philadelphia and they could afford it, but 11 and 12 with a block in 23 minutes. He continues to do plenty, even in limited playing time. And Dwayne Casey does plenty in his limited coaching time. And when I say plenty, I mean plenty negatively. DeMar DeRozan went 14 and 4 with a 3, and Patrick Patterson 7 and 7 off the bench. It was good to see Norman Powell getting 25 minutes, 8 and 4 for Powell. With Ross and Carroll out, they needed to give minutes to some bench guys, and Powell's a guy who I do really like. So he's just someone to keep an eye on for you deeper league guys. If Carroll is going to be out for the next week, Ross is going to be out for 2 weeks, Norman Powell's a guy to pay attention to in those deep 20-team leagues, and you might get some top 200 value out of him, which would be nice. Onto the Sixers. We heard reports of Robert Covington maybe coming back on Saturday. It doesn't appear like he will. He will likely be ready to go at the start of next week. Nerlens Noel missed again with his wrist problem. So the Sixers were very shorthanded. Not only are they low in talent, they were low in player numbers. Jeremy Grant went 12 and 10 with a couple of blocks. TJ McConnell, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists. And I've said this plenty of times, that this is going to be the issue with McConnell. 13 assists is very sexy. But the other stats are just terrible. 5 points a game he's averaging. That's in 29 minutes. That's really yuck. 42% from the field. That's not ideal as well. 8.3 assists. You love it. 4.6 rebounds is nice. 1.3 steals, also very nice. He's going to lose value. I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm fairly confident he is losing value. Whether that's in the next month or not, we don't know. But there's a lot of he's a one category guy at the moment, and it's basically assists, and that can be good, but it can also be detrimental in other areas. Jakar Sampson got the start with Rishaun Holmes also out with the hamstring issue. Sampson went 9 and 6. Nick Stauskas again took a lot of shots, didn't hit many. 3 of 11, 8 points, 2 threes, and 3 assists. I'm still holding Stauskas. And Isaiah Cannon, he's a great option for threes at the moment. He's just killing it for 3-pointers and scoring. He really likes the bench role. 29 minutes for Cannon, 18 points, including 5 threes. So he's got a nice role there. Hollis Thompson also had 5 threes in his 19 points in his 27 minutes with those with Holmes and Covington out. So getting some extra minutes with those bench guys, with those other players injured. Phil Pressey also chimed in 7 assists. So the 2 point guards on the Sixers were Phil Pressey and TJ McConnell. Undrafted rookie, a waiver wire acquisition. They got 20 assists between them. And that's what both those guys do. They're just distributors. And it's good to have them distributing the ball, Cannon playing off the ball. That suits Cannon's game a lot better. And he's in a much better role when he's not having to set up the offense. The Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics, nice game from Monte Ellis for the Pacers, 13-2-6 with four steals. You're going to have to ride some bad games with him, but overall, he's going to be a decent player. CJ Miles got hot, went 17-5 with a couple of steals, and he will do that. And Paul George went 26-10, so a good night from George. The other George Hill, he played 37 minutes. Not his best night, 7-4-5, but still decent. And Yan Mihinmi had three blocks with 11 points, but just two rebounds. He's a great punt free throw guy. Miles Turner lasted just 1 minute before suffering a fracture in his hand. He's likely to be out for a week or so. So if you do own Miles Turner, just the path for him to get minutes is crowded with Mahimi there, Lavoie Allen, Jordan Hill all playing decent minutes. Turner's just not getting enough minutes to be relevant in 12-team leagues anyway, unless you were looking for a deep, long-term stash. It's hard to look at him in most situations because the minutes crunch is there. And now that he's injured for a week, I'm okay moving on from him. Lavoie Allen, 18 minutes, 6-4. Jordan Hill went 12-8 in his 23 minutes. And Chase Buttinger played 22 minutes and went 10-3-2 with a couple of blocks. There was no Rodney Stuckey with that ankle problem. On to the Boston Celtics. Marcus Smart returned. He didn't start. They went with Isaiah Thomas over him. Smart played 21 bench minutes. You'd think that the Smart will get that job back as they ease him back in from this toe issue. 8 points, 2 assists, and a steal. Not a great night from him. Isaiah Thomas went 14-3-4. And shocking, Brad Stevens changed up the rotations again in the front court. Amir Johnson started. He played 14 minutes, 7-2 with a steal and a block. But the good thing is that Jared Sullinger got 33 minutes, went 11-11 with a 3 and a steal. He's a guy that I think you have to own in pretty much all formats at the moment. Evan Turner got the start for Avery Bradley. Talked about him yesterday with Matt that if Bradley was going to be out, Turner was going to be a great DFS option. He's put up three really good games in a row, 23-3 with a steal and 2 blocks all over the box score, Evan Turner. So he has even some seasonal value if he's going to be getting this role. When Bradley comes back, you'd think that he'll be minimized a little bit though. Jay Crowder, not much offensively, 5 points, but another 5 steals. He was a guy we touched on yesterday. He was averaging 3.2 steals a game. That has gone up now. So a good night from Crowder. He's definitely a 12-team league guy. David Lee played 16 minutes off the bench, 13-6, so some efficient scoring. But as usual, not much else from him. And RJ Hunter played 20 minutes with Avery Bradley out. Amir Johnson didn't start the second half here. So, of course, Jonas Jurepko was the starter. He played 16 minutes. Kelly Olynyk played 15 minutes and didn't produce much. Jurepko didn't score. Sullinger's the only one of these big men that you can really own at the moment. He's playing the best basketball. He's producing the best fantasy stats. That could all change by next week. And that's why Brad Stevens remains incredibly frustrating from a fantasy perspective. I'm sure the Celtics don't mind when they're winning games. They didn't in this one. But from a fantasy point of view, yeah, it's pretty frustrating. The Brooklyn Nets, Joe Johnson, 16-7-10. A big, big night from Joe Johnson. Yes, his upside is not high, but he is a guy that has to be owned in 12-team leagues. Brook Lopez played through his sore foot, played through his back spasms, went 14-12 with 5 blocks. So hopefully you make sure he wasn't on your bench and got into the lineup. Bojan Bogdanović went 22-9 with a couple of threes in 34 minutes, and that's more common sense to me that he's getting big minutes. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson played the Markel Brown role to perfection, started, played 12 minutes, and scored 0 points. He'd been getting in excess of 20 minutes for the last couple of games, so it is a little bit weird, but the Nets got a victory. So maybe they go, okay, let's play Bogdanović more of these minutes. Let's get some more offense happening and see if it brings us more victories. They got no incentive to tank, obviously. So Hollis-Jefferson, yeah, he wasn't much of a fantasy producer anyway, but if the minutes are limited, then yeah, we don't look too far into that in terms of whether we own him or not. Thad Young played 22 minutes, 13-4 with 3 blocks, and Jarrett Jack went 7-6-6 in his 28 minutes. He was probably outplayed by Shane Larkin in this one, who went 15-8 with 3 threes, but I'm still owning Jarrett Jack over Shane Larkin. Onto the Rockets, I've talked about Marcus Thornton already. Dwight Howard was fantastic as well, 20-17, 5 blocks. He missed both his free throws, but he only took two attempts. So actually, you know what? That's not as harmful as what he's been in other situations. So not a horrible night from Howard. Harden wasn't at his best, 23-9-6 with three threes. And when you go 23-9-6 and it's not your best night, you're a pretty good player. And Ty Lawson, again, played big minutes and again did nothing. 8-4-5 with two steals. Hopefully you didn't think that he was going to be a top 50 sort of player because he's clearly not returning that value. He's in nine category leagues. He's ranked 170th at the moment. He's averaging 10 points, four rebounds, 5.6 assists. So we're talking a drop of 5 points a game and four assists a game, plus a field goal drop of almost 10%. Now, he's probably not going to shoot 34% for majority of the season, but he's just not a guy that I'm all that interested in because of the fit with the Rockets. Clint Capella blocked a couple of shots in 11 minutes, and there's a lot of buzz about Clint Capella. I don't think that you can really bother owning him in 12-team leagues. When he's going to play minutes like this, Jones is back, and they're going to play small. Yes, when Howard's out, that's fine, but Howard's actually still really good, and a lot of people seem to think that Howard is done. No, he's not. He's still really good. And as Howard gets healthier, yeah, there's not going to be those back-to-back games where Capella plays bigger minutes. So I think it's really hard to just consistently own him in a 12-team league at the moment. Patrick Beverley was really marginalized here, so Marcus Thornton got a lot of his minutes. 9 minutes for Beverley, 3-3. There's obviously no place for Beverley in 12-team leagues. And Terrence Jones, in his return, went scoreless, played 16 minutes, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. If you picked him up, let's just hold, let's just wait and see what this means for him moving forward. But obviously, if he's a 15-minute player, then there's no fantasy value. Now, I want to re-clarify something I've said on Terrence Jones, and I've said it a number of times this season. I don't think he's a great basketball player. I think he's an inferior option to Donatas Motiejunas, but if he was getting 30 minutes a night, his fantasy value is really good, and he can do a lot of things fantasy-wise. I just don't think he's a great player, and I'm always worried that they're going to move on from him, and maybe this is them moving on from him, putting Trevor Ariza at the four and running him minimal minutes. So let's see what happens in the next two games. But if this is a trend of him getting 15 minutes a night, then forget about it. There's nothing to get excited about with Terrence Jones in that sort of situation. But obviously, we just need to see how it all plays out over the next couple of games. The Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies. Harrison Barnes had a pretty decent night, 19-4-3. Three steals and a block, some pretty nice shooting from Barnes. He's had definitely a better season this year than what he did last season so far. He's a top 60 ranked player, 13 points, so a big increase in his scoring. His other numbers are pretty similar. So it's just he's taking more attempts this season. He's taking a couple of extra field goal attempts per game. Some of that can be tied into Klay Thompson's struggles, I think, as they look to Barnes a little bit more than they did to Thompson. So at this point in 12-team leagues, you have to consider Harrison Barnes as a guy that you want to look at, I think. Andre Iguodala's been quite good as well, 20 points with four threes. And Klay Thompson, I mentioned his struggles, just 8 points. But overall, he still helped. Two threes, seven rebounds, two assists, a steal, two blocks. Some nice numbers across the board for him. Draymond Green, 7-6-4 with a couple of blocks, a bit of a down night for him. While Festus Ezeli played 20 minutes in the start over Andrew Bogut. Bogut played 15, 3-7 for Bogut, 3-5 for Ezeli. It's really hard to own either of those guys in 12-team leagues, I think, at the moment, because they're going to play this minute split, and then Draymond Green's going to get the rest of the minutes at center. So there's not a huge incentive for either of those guys, I don't think. Onto the Grizzlies, 40 minutes for Marc Gasol, 26-7, two steals and a three. So a really good night from him, obviously. And Mike Conley, just a horrific shooting night. Some really bad shooting nights tonight in the NBA. 1 of 12 for Conley, 4-2-9 with three steals. So the assists and steals you're still happy with, but just that horrific efficiency. If he shoots at anywhere near 50%, he's a 12-9 with three steals, and that's obviously a nice night. Zach Randolph went 19-7. And the wing still remains messy. Now, Mario Chalmers did not play, did not make his debut. Brandon Wright was out with that knee issue as well. So what we saw is Courtney Lee get 32 minutes. We saw Tony Allen play 24 minutes. We saw Matt Barnes play 26 minutes. We saw Jeff Green play 17 minutes. Russ Smith played 13 as the backup point guard. You would think that Chalmers takes those minutes off Smith, and he takes some of the minutes away from the wings, but there's not enough for us to do anything with Mario Chalmers in fantasy leagues or in standard fantasy leagues anyway. The New Orleans Pelicans against the Atlanta Hawks. Anthony Davis was out, as we sort of anticipated. So the Pelicans went with a starting lineup of Ish Smith, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Luke Babbitt, and Omer Asik, because Jrue Holiday was out as well with the back-to-back situation. So Ish Smith went 18-5-10 with a couple of threes. in 39 minutes. I know so many of you are keen to know what do we do with Ish Smith. It's a tough one, really. Yes, he should be owned at this point. Does he hold long-term value? I'd say probably not, but he's putting up some really nice numbers. You know, 10 points, 3.8 rebounds, 8.4 assists, 1.5 steals. I always put him in the TJ McConnell class because I think their value probably extends for the same amount of time. One of the problems with Smith is the percentages are just horrible, especially the field goal percentage. You know, 38 on 11 attempts is not good. And the minutes will have to come back down when we see Holiday's minutes go up, when Norris Cole comes back, when Tyreek Evans comes back. So yes, they're all short-term guys to look at. Nothing that's really interesting on a long-term basis for Ish Smith or Tony Douglas or any of the other point guards who are any of the other players who are getting this extra run at the moment that a lot of these players are. Tony Douglas went 12 points, four assists, two steals, and 3 threes, so a decent night there. Ryan Anderson, 17 and 11. I'm just not excited about Ryan Anderson, but a guy I am excited about is Eric Gordon. Another 4 threes for Gordon, 26, 3 and 3 with 2 steals. He is easily solidifying his place inside the top 100. If you're really scared about the injury risk, which there can be some injury risk with Eric Gordon, feel free to sell high, but I've been pretty excited about him for most of the season. Omer Asik played 21 minutes, 4 points, 8 rebounds, nothing else. There is zero fantasy value for Omer Asik this season. And the other guys, Alonzo G, Dante Cunningham, Luke Babbitt, all scored 7 points, and there's nothing to really get overly excited about with them. Al Horford's big year continued. He went 26-8 with 3 blocks, and he hit 4 threes. He was 4 of 6 from 3. He is putting in just a tremendous season. So is Paul Millsap, who went 19-16 with 3 steals, and he is the best stealing big man in the league at the moment. Maybe apologies to Andre Drummond. Jeff Teague escaped suspension. We were talking about the suspension yesterday with Matt. He's not getting a suspension. 14 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, and a block, while Kyle Korver went 7-5 with 2 steals. So not a great night, but not a horrible night for Korver. Dennis Schroeder, 22-4, a decent performance there. And Kent Bazemore, this is more the Kent Bazemore that I used to know and love. 10-3-2 in 32 minutes. He went 4 of 11 from the field. There are going to be nights like this because, again, I just don't think he's not that good. He's not a top 50 sort of player. But of course, we need to make sure we're still owning Kent Bazemore in every league until this becomes more of a regularity. And there is a decent chance that does happen. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. It was DeAndre Jordan's first game in Dallas since the offseason snafu. What we saw for the Clippers, it was a big win for Dallas, actually. They were super pumped to get that victory. But with the Clippers, JJ Redick went out with back spasms. He lasted 14 minutes, so he's out of action. Austin Rivers picked up the pace, 27 minutes for Rivers in that extended run with Redick gone. 16-6, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes. Whenever Paul goes out, one of these shooting guards go out, Rivers is the guy who tends to get the majority of the minutes there. So look for that if you want some short-term action for a daily fantasy point of view, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Blake Griffin, 21-9-3, solid, but not the level he's been at. And Chris Paul, another guy, struggled with his shot, 2 of 11, 11 points, 11 assists. Jamal Crawford also got extra run with Redick out. He played 29 minutes, 11 points, not much else. He can do better than that, but he is basically a points and threes guy. Lance Stephenson didn't get extra run with no Redick. 21 minutes for Stephenson, 6-2. DeAndre went 9-11 with a block in a bit of an underwhelming performance. Dirk Nowitzki is just killing it at the moment. He is just putting up just such efficient shooting lines, and that's, I think, the key to what we're seeing from Dirk. Is his shooting is just out of control good. He's averaging on the season. Actually, I'll tell you, today he went 31-11 with 5 threes on 11 of 14 shooting. For the season, he's on 18.9 points, 2 threes, 7.5 rebounds. He's at 55% shooting and 91 from the line. So we're talking about from last season, he's playing less minutes, but he's averaging more points, more threes, more rebounds, better field goal percentage, better free throw percentage. This doesn't happen for guys who are, you know, closing in on 40 years of age, that they just get better. So there's going to be, yeah, I think somewhat of a drop-off from Dirk, but at the moment, he is just shooting the lights out. Wes Matthews, someone tweeted at me that he must have heard the show yesterday because he turned it on for his best game of the season. 25-6-3, a steal and 3 threes. And Darren Williams went 13-6 with 3 steals, so a decent night from Darren as well. Zaza Pachulia, 10-10 with 2 blocks, just quietly getting it done, getting a lot of rebounds this season. The Mavericks did sit Chandler Parsons, so Ray Felton got the start. 30 minutes for Felton, 13-3. and not a huge amount else help happening on the bench. Dwight Powell was limited to 26 minutes. He battled foul trouble, had four fouls there, so don't read too much into it. He's still got 8 points and six rebounds, so a pretty nice return, but obviously not exactly what you were hoping when or if you did happen to add Dwight Powell. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets got the victory. I mentioned yesterday that was a weird spread to me. The Nuggets were favored, but they did get the victory because that is that doubleheader second game in Denver, back-to-back. Well, not doubleheader, the back-to-back, the second game in Denver. The altitude does affect teams quite a bit. There was no Michael Carter Williams. There was no OJ Mayo. There was no Jabari Parker for the Bucks. So we saw Johnny O'Brien in the starting lineup because, of course, why wouldn't we? 11-9 for O'Brien in 34 minutes with a block, and that's actually a really good return for him. He was, and that was weird about the Bucks box score. Only two of their players took free throws. Johnny O'Brien took three, and Jared Bayless took six. That's a pretty weird box score. We're not adding Johnny O'Brien anywhere, but again, it just further shows you that Jason Kidd hates John Henson. 15 minutes for Henson, 4-2 with a block. You can't own him in 12-team leagues. Giannis, not quite his usual dominant self, 12-7-5 with a couple of blocks. Chris Middleton went 13 points and 4 steals, and Greg Monroe went 18-10. But Jared Bayless was once again one of the players of the day. 22 points for him, 3 threes, 4 assists, 2 steals. He looks like he's going to have a decent role even when Carter Williams comes back. You'd think that he would be preferred over OJ Mayo, because he's just played so well so far, and he's remained a really cheap DFS option, just putting up big, big numbers. Onto the Denver Nuggets side of things, Kenneth Faried, 19-9 with 2 steals and 3 blocks, just really revel in those defensive numbers because they don't come often. Danilo Gallinari went 25-7 with 4 threes, and JJ Hixon made another start with Joffrey Lavernier out. Hixon went 12-2 with a steal and a block in his 29 minutes, and the sooner we can get him out of the starting lineup, the better. Emmanuel Mudiay went 16 points, 11 assists on his typical inefficient shooting. Only one turnover, so that helps. And Gary Harris had 8 points, 5 assists, and 2 steals in 28 minutes. The big news for the Denver Nuggets is that Wilson Chandler is now out for the season. He's undergone hip surgery. And as soon as it happens, you know, you get lots of tweets tweeted at you. Who benefits? What do I do? Who do I pick up? Well, the answer is nothing changes, because Denver hasn't played with Wilson Chandler all season. So whatever these guys have been doing so far, like Gary Harris, like Will Barton, like what's going to change? Barton in this game played 17 minutes off the bench. He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. That's not great. And yes, Barton's been pretty decent this season. He's played 24 minutes a game, 12 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, half a block, and that's okay. And you can add him in that situation, but what changes? He doesn't get better all of a sudden because an announcement came out about Wilson Chandler. He's still going to be this guy who plays this role that he's in. Yeah, he might start some games. Gary Harris will start some games, but nothing changes to me, because you know all that's going to change is that Nelson's going to come back. Nurkic is going to come back. Lavernier is going to come back. They're not going to play as small at times, so maybe the wing minutes become limited. Yeah, the fact that Chandler is not coming back, we haven't had Chandler all season, so all these guys are going to play similar roles. So Barton might get 20 to 22 minutes a night, but by no means is it a must-add sort of player in really any league, I don't think. Well, that's not true. No, a 14-team league is obviously a must-add. A 12, you can look at him, but it really depends on who you add him, because really what's going to change? And this was not a good night for Will Barton. Nikola Jokic, 8-5-4 in his 14 minutes. The next game, the Detroit Pistons and the Sacramento Kings. The Pistons went 16-9. Not the Pistons. Marcus Morris of the Pistons went 16-9 in 36 minutes, and he had 5 steals. So big minutes again for him, and big production. He's a clear must-own player. Ersan Ilyasova is not. Only 17 minutes for Ilyasova. He's outplayed by Anthony Tolliver, who played 24. 8-2 for Ilyasova. 8-4-4 for Tolliver. And Stanley Johnson once again with big minutes. 27 minutes for Johnson. 8-5-2 with a couple of steals. Not a good shooting night, but the fact that he took 11 shots and played 27 minutes is encouraging that he's going to become a 12-team league player maybe in a month or so. So if you want to get in and make a stash, you can do that. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 15 points and not much else. Reggie Jackson played through the sore leg and went 16-4-3, while Andre Drummond, 14-17 with two steals and a pretty Andre Drummond-ish sort of line. The Sacramento Kings, Darren Collison wasn't able to go. So, of course, Rajon Rondo played 48 minutes for the second game in a row, had his second triple-double in the last three games, 14, 11, and 15 with three steals. If you are selling high on Rondo, now is the time, because Collison is going to eat back into these minutes. He is not going to play 14 minutes a night. For as good as these numbers are, he still shot the ball horribly. Six of 16, 1 of 2 from the line. There's some great counting stats, but Darren Collison is going to eat into that playing time. So he could go from 48 down to 28 minutes pretty easily, I think. So now is the time to sell high. We had Al Horford hitting 4 threes before. DeMarcus Cousins said, yep, I can do that as well. He went 33-9 and hit 4 threes with a block. One game back after the return from the Achilles soreness, so he's obviously back in business. 38 minutes for him. Rudy Gay went 25-6 in his 39 minutes. And Willie Cauley-Stein in the start played just 16 minutes, 4-5 with a steal and a block. And yes, he continues to rack up those steals and blocks, but it's so hard to own him. James Anderson with another ceremonial start, 17 minutes for him. I don't know why he's deserving of a ceremonial start. And the other guys, Costa Kufos, Marco Bellinelli, some bad nights for them. And speaking of bad nights, Ben McLemore played 3 minutes and did nothing else. It's just yuck for Ben McLemore owners. And you know what? There shouldn't be Ben McLemore owners at this point unless you're talking deep, deep leagues. The San Antonio Spurs and the Portland Trailblazers, LaMarcus Aldridge returning to Portland. Kawhi Leonard went 20-7. Aldridge went 23-6 with a block. So good nights from both of those guys. Tim Duncan, 12-6 with a couple of blocks. And good news, Danny Green, 31 minutes, 11 points. He hit 3 threes. He went 4 of 6 from the field, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. And it's not great, but it's a good start, and that's great to see. For Danny Green owners, Manu continues to contribute. Ginobili had 14 points with a 3, 5 rebounds and 3 assists. And not a huge amount else to talk about on the Spurs. The Blazers, probably one of the biggest stories of the night. Myers Leonard has suffered a dislocated shoulder. We do not know the timetable for this. He played 24 minutes, but it's not good. He's going to be out for a length of time. You can drop him in all seasonal leagues, I would say, at this point. The major beneficiary, well, we don't really know at this point, because this is the game where Gerald Henderson was reintegrated. So does Henderson start to get minutes? He played 18 minutes and had 12 points. Do we see Mo Harkless play 23 minutes? He played 16 minutes here and did absolutely nothing. You'd have to think that Harkless and Henderson probably get the biggest bump here, with Ed Davis also getting some extra run. Mason Plumlee was 9-4. Ed Davis was 11-6 in his 18 minutes with his 2 steals and a block. But no one stands out to me as being a, we must go and grab this guy from Portland, because it could be Davis, it could be Henderson, it could be Vonleh, it could be Harkless, it could be any of these guys. We just don't know exactly how they're going to run that situation. But at this point, you can move on from Leonard. El-Farouq Aminu went 11-3-4 with a couple of threes, and CJ McCollum 21 points with not much else in the box score, while Damian Lillard hit 5 threes and went 22 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 steal. That is it for the 11 games from Wednesday. I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to look at the short Thursday slate of daily fantasy action. I saw you. So we're back now to look at some daily fantasy options for tomorrow. There are only 3 games on. And what I generally think, when there is such a small amount of games on, that you don't invest quite as much in daily fantasy, because with 3 games on, there's probably less value plays out there. There's more overlap with guys, you know, playing the similar lineups, because there's only so many combinations that you can run out there. So some people like to think that it's a better option on a day like today, or a day like Thursday, or whatever day you're listening. I just don't really love this situation, and none of these games really stand out as being great options. So what you see is the cash games and head-to-head games. I think you'll see a pretty low score that's able to get in the cash in most of these. So when you're building your lineups, if you're doing that on Basketball Monster, and you see your projected total come out and you think that's pretty low, I think this will be a low-scoring game in general. A couple of injuries we need to look at. Utah and Miami is the first game. The Heat are favored by 5. This is a terrible over-under, 182. And Rudy Gobert is questionable. If Gobert misses time, or misses this game, Trevor Booker is the guy to have a look at. He's priced at 3,900, so you'd want to look at him in majority of your lineups. Derek Favors, I also like at 7,800. He's been putting up, you know, really, really impressive numbers for pretty much all of the season. The only real exception was that game where he was sick and only was able to play the first half. But he's been putting up, you know, superb numbers this season. He's averaging 33 daily fantasy points for the year. He's, you know, at 7,800, it's getting close to being a little bit expensive, but obviously you wait and see. If Gobert's out, he's a great guy to look at. Rodney Hood is solid at 4,500. I think there's value in him. And Justice Winslow, if you're looking for that cheap option at 3,700. He put up 19 in the last game. And at 3,700, that's pretty close to all you need from him. Nothing much else really stands out. We're avoiding Goran Dragic in this game against the Jazz. This is such a slow tempo game. Dwayne Wade's not a good option. I don't mind Hassan Whiteside, but I also don't think this is the greatest situation for him, nor do I think it is for Chris Bosh. So not a lot of excitement for any of these guys in this game. The next up is the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ricky Rubio, Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Garnett all missed the last game for the Timberwolves. They all should be back, so we're all considering them probable to play. The best value guy here is Nemanja Bjelica. He's priced at 4,600. He put up 28 in the last game. He's averaging almost 26 over his last five, and I think that's great value at that price. Klay Thompson has been disappointing, no doubt, but even in today's game, where he was a bit low in his output, he still put up 22.5 daily fantasy points, and at 6,800, it is hard to go past him. And Andre Iguodala at 4,700 has been putting up some nice numbers as well. So he's a guy that you definitely can pay attention to. Steph Curry, 10,700. There's not many high-priced guys, obviously, running with only three games, so Steph definitely has some value. I don't think that I'm, you know, all that head over heels about him at that sort of price, but if you've got a lot of other cheap options and you're going to have cash to splurge, we know what Steph Curry is able to do. Ricky Rubio at 7,400 is probably a little bit expensive for me. He's only averaging 30.7 over the last five games, and he'd want to go higher than that, and it's going to be a tough ask against Golden State. Well, Karl Anthony Towns has been really good as well. He's now priced over 7,000 on FanDuel. I don't know if that's if that makes it prohibitive. It probably doesn't, but he's still a guy that you have to be a little bit cautious of, because he's a rookie and he's been awesome, but can he be the same level of awesome all the way through? There's going to be a down game. And the Warriors, again, there's no spread for this because we're still waiting on the status of Rubio and Wiggins. They should play. The Warriors aren't a great option. I'm avoiding Wiggins at 7,200, even though, look, he did put up 44 in his last game. He's, including that and the game before, though, he's only averaging 30 over his last five. And at 7,200, he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad tournament player. But again, he's going up against the Warriors, and he could be shut down. Draymond Green at 7,800 is a guy that I'm avoiding. And, that's about it for that game. The last game of the night is the Clippers and the Suns. The Clippers are obviously coming off that back-to-back in Dallas. They're favored by three. It's a huge total, 209, and JJ Redick is currently doubtful. So that creates a bit of value here, and I think it creates some value for Austin Rivers. He put up 30.7 points today. He's minimum salary, so there's definitely a value play there once you hear that Redick is out. So look for Austin Rivers. Jamal Crawford also gets a bump as well at 4,400. He got big minutes. He didn't provide much today, but he got the big minutes, so there's room for him to grow. On the Suns, I like a couple of their guys. Markieff Morris at 5,800. Brandon Knight at 6,700, who was disappointing in the last game, as was Tyson Chandler at 5,700. I think those guys can all have somewhat of bounce back performances. Chris Paul is down to 9,100 now, and I reckon that's not a bad price for him in this matchup again, because there's just so few guys playing. You might be able to, you know, if you got Rivers in there and Bjelica in there, you can spend this 9,000 on some extra players. Eric Bledsoe at 8,300. You'll see soon that he's probably my top priced shooting guard on the board. He got almost 45 in the last game. I think he's a decent chance to put up some big numbers here again. And Blake Griffin at 10,200. The same sort of story goes with him, the what it goes for Steph. You hope that he can put up, or if you build the right lineup around him, you can get him in there. But overall, it's not a position that really stands out to me so far this season. He had one of his quieter games against Dallas. He should bounce back, so he's still got some value. But the projections aren't currently loving him at the moment. What I'll do is I'll bring up my daily fantasy plays on the screen now, where you can see them. So what we got here is the top value, a low price guy, a mid price guy, and a top high price guy. At point guard, Austin Rivers at 3,500, Brandon Knight at 6,700, and Chris Paul at 91. At shooting guard, Jamal Crawford, 44, Klay Thompson, 68, and Eric Bledsoe at 8,300. Small forwards, Nemanja Bjelica, 4,600, Harrison Barnes at 5,100, and there is no high price small forward on the board, so you can avoid that, obviously. At power forward, Trevor Booker at 3,900. That goes through the roof if Rudy Gobert doesn't play. Markieff Morris at 5,800 and Derek Favors at 78. And that also gets a bump if there is no Rudy Gobert. And at center, Festus Ezeli, who could get another start and play 20-odd minutes at 4,300. There's a little bit there for him. Tyson Chandler for a bit of a rebound performance at 5,700. And DeAndre Jordan at 8,000 is the best high-priced center on the board. That is it for today's podcast, guys. Again, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast and help out the show and be like Stevie_C04 or like moneyball.com.au, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for the day. Make sure you are checking out basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, and redrockbasketball.com and all the good stuff happening there. Please tweet at me, redrock_bball. That's it. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.